Praise you, Lord. What a blessing it is that the Lord desires to walk with us, to speak to us, to be known by us, that we can have this fellowship with Him throughout the day, throughout the night. We dare not take that for granted. God is so good, so gracious to us, that He would abide with us, dwell among us and in us. Thank you all already for the days that we've been together, for just being faithful to the Lord and sharing your heart, testimony and prayer and worship. What a blessing. And, the book right before Revelation, Jude, you'll miss it if you're not careful. It's about a page and a half. Look at Jude tonight. Has nothing to do with James or Ezra, other than Jude is a brother of James, we believe. There are a few Judes or Judases in the New Testament, but it's fairly well agreed upon that this would be the brother of James, so that's our connection, and the half-brother of Jesus. So before Jude, maybe I'll just share a little personal confession. It's not serious. You can relax. I have these nightmares. I grew up here at camp, and probably I was born in January, and probably that summer my parents had me up here already. But as far back as I can remember, I've been coming to camp, have a lot of experiences here. And I don't know how long ago it was, maybe 12 or more years, that Brother Eddie Walfogle, who's passed away since, asked me if I would be available on a weekend where I guess they asked everybody else and they couldn't be here. And so he said, will you be available that weekend? And we had been coming all the time with our families, and we were able to sit back there and just enjoy camp ministry. And so we did, and that began a journey where we are regularly ministering here at camp in the summers. And since then, when I began that, every year, probably about January or February, I begin having nightmares about doing this and all kinds of scenarios that come up. My first experience speaking here, it started at table worship, where I was broken in. Brother Edwin, senior, would ask me and say, okay, you're going to do table worship. And I was probably in my early to mid-20s, finished Bible college. And he just gave me that opportunity, and it was always fearful. And then the first time he asked me to speak here in the lodge in a meeting, which was terrifying. I mean, of course, he was sitting right here where the ministers usually do. And so he's right here, and I'm right here. And I don't know when it was, but it was cold. And so that night they decided to put a fire on behind me. And so I stood here profusely sweating in a panic and fear. And I suppose that's never left. So I have these nightmares of things that could go wrong here at camp as a minister. And they're typically like this. Don't get the wrong idea about Brother Paul, but it's typically I'm stuck out on the lake, I'm in a boat, and the meeting's about to start, and I can't get back in time, and I'm in this panic, and they're all searching for me, where is he? And so I'm in this terror moment of they're looking for me, I can't get back, and I'm rowing and doing all that I can, and not wanting to get back at that point. I'm afraid of what I was gonna walk into. I've come here completely unprepared with anything to say, no notes, no studies, no series, nothing, and I just kind of am here in fear, with nothing to give. The other is that I oversleep, and people are banging on my door and trying to get me out. So this morning, woke up from a groggy sleep. So the past night or two, I didn't sleep well, and I thought, I'm going to take a Tylenol PM, and it's going to help me sleep, and so I did. I had the alarm set, but I knew Brother Renee was going to share in our worship, table worship this morning, so I wasn't worried about getting up super early and getting everything ready and myself together and time quiet, and so I wasn't nervous about that. My wife is always up early. Some of you may come in here at 6:30 in the morning, 7, and she's in here maybe praying, and so she always keeps me on track. And so I had no fear this morning. I was going to sleep peacefully. And so I did, for the most part. And then I kind of woke up in a grog, and I thought, I feel like I slept a long time. And so I grabbed my phone to look at the clock, and it said 8:31. And at that point, I wasn't quite sure where I was or what was going on, but something inside me said something's wrong. And usually, my wife will be on me if, you know, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But I looked over, and she's fast asleep, which never happens. And so I said, Di, is it 8:30? And she jumped up to look at her clock, because I figured my phone, something went wrong. And so the rush began, and so she ran up there as quick as she could. I think she just missed the start of the song. And then I got some things together and made my way up. So as I'm walking to the palace, my phone pops up. I have Spurgeon, you do the morning and evening, Charles Spurgeon readings. And so if you read this morning, it popped up. So I'm walking down the road, and I was encouraged by Charles Spurgeon this morning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which talked about those who sleep in Jesus. And so I felt a confirmation. And though I felt bad, I don't anymore. You made it through breakfast. But that's a little bit of the life of a minister at Pilgrim Camp sometimes. My nightmare came true a little bit, but anyway, Jude, short book, few verses, one chapter, verse 20 and 21 we'll look at tonight, just really because it seems like God has led us in the direction of the love of God. In the past couple of meetings, been a little bit of an emphasis and focus in some of our singing and testimonies. And so this just kind of spoke to my heart a little bit, and thought on a Saturday night, real short time together, we'll just give a few thoughts from these two verses. We'll start with verse 17. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own godly passions. And that was the thrust of Jude. There was a lot of trouble coming into the church from the outside. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, that's us, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Just for these few moments, keep yourselves in the love of God. The first thing is God's love for us. It is unconditional. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Jude isn't talking here about trying to get your place into the love of God and to position yourself or live in a way that makes yourself lovable to God. He's saying that this is the work of God that is unconditional, unsought, undeserved, but God brings us to this place. And now that we're in this place of God's love, there are some things that he says we need to do. Scripture is very clear, whether it's very direct and overt, teaching that God loves us in this way, or it's just really the whole theme of Scripture, the whole narrative of Scripture is how much God loves us and brings us from Genesis all the way through Revelation. So we know for a certainty that this is the heart of God toward us. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians that while we were yet sinners, which means we had no desire for God, we had no regard for God, we had no seeking after God. It just wasn't there. We were devoid of all of love and grace and mercy, but God implants that and puts that within us and draws us to Himself. Now, while we were yet sinners, Christ acted, God acted, and He gave Himself for us and died for us. Romans 8:35-39, what a powerful passage of Scripture. When Paul talks about the love of God and says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? And he goes into that list of things that he says, not this, not this, not this, like tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. No, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And he says, I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing that has been created is able to separate us from the love of Christ Jesus our Lord. Does that make you feel good? I heard a testimony, and I know it's the story of a lot of people. I hear it often. You know, I wasn't sure that anybody loved me. I wasn't sure that my own mother or father loved me. Sister Sylvia shared a little bit around the table. Your daughter, I forget which one, who works with the children in the hospital, Julie. And the stories, the sadness, little children that basically have just been given up because they're sick, they're not wanted, and they lay in a hospital, nobody visits, no parents around, and they're left for nurses and others to care for them, to love them. But the thought of that, but being on the other end, someday the child's going to grow up and they're going to look back and they're going to know a story. And there's a sense, whether it's that extreme or maybe not, but sometimes we just feel unloved or we feel unlovable. And if people don't love us, how could God, who knows everything about me and knows my sinfulness and knows my heart, how could He ever love me? But the certainty that we have in God's Word is that He loves us so deeply that He would die for us. And then that He would keep us in that love. That nothing can separate us. Nothing and no one, the devil himself, cannot snatch us out of His hands. And so this is the depth of the love that of God that Jude is talking about. But we read in that verse, keep yourselves in the love of God. So there's something now on our part that keeps us in this place. We can squander it. We can distance ourselves from it. And so Jude is giving this instruction and maybe a little bit of a warning. Keep yourselves in the love of God. One commentator gives a broader understanding of what that wording is. Says, with watchful care, keep yourselves within the sphere of God's love. Which means there's a place that we can put ourselves that's not in the flow of God's love. What Jude is saying, what the commentators are giving us, maybe a little bit more insight to what Jude is actually meaning. Keep yourselves in this realm, in this sphere. Don't move out beyond it. When something comes between the sun and us, we're living in shade. And so we have to be careful we're not living in these shadows. The dark side of the moon. The sun is bright on the other side, but over here there's darkness. And so the command that is given is to do three things. Build yourself up, pray, and wait. So three things we're going to take away tonight, how to keep ourselves in the love of God. Build yourselves up in the love of God, verse 20. It's building upon a foundation that's already laid. That's the first thing, right? The gospel was laid, salvation is given, and so we've received this love and we've received a foundation, but now there's a building up on top of that, and we would associate that mostly with the apostles' teachings and how we grow in faith in obedience to the teachings of God. We talked about that a little bit on, I think, the first morning here, Tuesday morning, at table worship from Psalm chapter 5, verse 3, when David says, I prepare a sacrifice in the morning. And we talked about how that was the imagery of the priest in the Old Testament who would bring the morning sacrifices and do the preparation for sacrifice, and it would be intentional, and there would be work involved. They would have to, well, not every morning, but the work was done to build an altar. The work would have to be done daily to bring wood and to keep the fire going and to bring the animal and to do the killing and the laying out of the animal. And so all of this is taking place for the final act of worship. And here David is talking about that. Every morning I am preparing a sacrifice to worship God and to pray before God. It's a very intentional act. That's what we're reading here when Jude says, build yourselves up in the love of God. It's that every day that I wake up, there is a task at hand. It is to do this, to build myself up in God's love. It's not just meandering through life, not waking up with a million things to do, and the last thing we remember maybe through the day is to put our minds toward Christ and toward spiritual things, and particularly toward the love of God. You're saying this is a daily thing. This is your task every day. Put it on your to-do list. Build yourself up in the love of God. Live in that realm. It's an ongoing growth. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10:15, our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may greatly be enlarged. So he's talking about increasing faith. It's not static. And so if we're going to build ourselves up in faith and in love, there's work to be done. And so it's very practical disciplines. You're reading scripture, you're studying scripture. It's not just a surface, you know, get through your verses or chapters for the day. But I'm investing my time in the Word of God and in prayer. I'm hearing, I'm meditating, I'm being obedient, I'm in worship, I'm in fellowship. All of these things are important so that we would come to a place of grasping and holding on to and planting deeply the Word of God. What's the scripture? Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. So there's this cherishing, the hiding of the Word of God in our heart, and the idea there of hiding God's word in my heart, that it would take root, that would be so impressed upon me, is an image of maybe the engraving on a plaque or on metal or wood where it's kind of dug in, or even the picture of being tattooed and the ink so permeates the skin that it becomes a part of you. It doesn't get washed away, it doesn't fade, but the Word of God I'm hiding and it's being engraved on my heart that it would keep me and I would not sin against God. So there's this active building and working intentionally so that we stay in the love of God. He says also pray. Pray in the Holy Spirit. You want to stay in the love of God? This is necessary. Verse 20, the second part of it. Pray in the Holy Spirit, which would suggest that I could pray in the flesh. And I think we know when we pray in the spirit and when we pray in the flesh. I know when I do, there's a whole different thing going on within me. We know when somebody else does often. We know kind of, it could be in meetings where we feel like this is, we're still in an earthly realm. And then there are times where we're just lifted and we can sense we're being brought into a spiritual place, a heavenly place. It's a whole different realm right now. Often our prayer time and our prayers are very earth focused. And that's okay. It's not that we're not supposed to pray for things that are earthly. We're told to do that. Healing and provisions and give us this day our daily bread. So that's part of our praying. But we can't live in the earthly realm all the time in our praying that it's just focused on the temporal and the natural. We've got to come to a place that gets us beyond that, and the spirit begins to pray sometimes through groanings that are expressing the deep call and cry of our heart and our spirit. But it brings us to a place from praying for my daily bread, provision and need and health and careers and all of these things that are needed for life. But then it takes me to a place where I'm saying, you know what's more important than that? That I keep myself in the love of God. God, I desperately need to walk in that. I need to abide in you today, God. I need your Holy Spirit today. God, I need you to purge me, God. The thoughts that I'm having, you've got to remove them. The addictions that I'm drawn to, God, you need to break that. My mouth, whether it's lying or cursing or slander or gossip, God, you've got to deal with these things. We're now moving into spiritual things. And so he says, you want to stay in the love of God, you bring yourself to a place of praying in the Spirit. The last thing he says is wait. Wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life, verse 21. In the Greek, what it's saying there is that we're eagerly looking for, we're anticipating. And when our focus is future, and again, beyond the earthly realm, but it's future of God is going to fully redeem us. God is going to bring us fully into his presence in heaven. God is going to fully bring us face to face with himself. And we will know deeply then his love and his mercy and his grace and his glory and his sacrifice and all of the things that God will reveal to us through all of eternity. And he says, eagerly await those things. And when that becomes our focus daily, that we're not living for temporal things, it changes our mindset, it changes our heart. And he says, if you're going to stay with this constant awareness of the love of God, you've got to get beyond life. Earth consumes us, doesn't it? As soon as we wake up, we're consumed with earth. Things start flying at us, emails from work and news pops up and kids late for school and didn't do their homework and issues with your spouse and going to a job you don't like and the stress and the fears and the anxiety and the struggles and all of these things that just pile up in the first thoughts in our morning. We're consumed with that. But we're told that we're supposed to be walking with an awareness of the love of God every day. And it changes. All the circumstances might change. You still be having a really rough day. But we're walking differently. And so we wait eagerly, waiting and anticipating. One of my favorite stories in Scripture, there's not a lot of detail and information, some of it we have to kind of dig out of the few verses that we have, but Simeon and Anna. So every time I read it, there's just something in my heart that is so stirred. They're two of the people that I really want to spend time with in heaven. We don't know a lot, but we know this. They were eagerly waiting for Jesus. In their old age, every day they would go to the temple waiting. Maybe we'll see him today. When was the last time you woke up in the morning with such anticipation that you said, maybe today we'll see Jesus? Maybe today the skies will split. There'll be a shout and a trumpet sound. We who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the air. Maybe today the longing of my heart will be fulfilled and Jesus will come and earth will be done for me. That's what Simeon was waiting for, and Anna, even Joseph of Arimathea, waiting for the kingdom. Waiting for the kingdom is another story. And he recognized Jesus later in life and at his death, but he recognized, this is the one that I've been waiting for. That keeps us in the love of God. With that, we've talked also about the other side. Even a lot of our songs bring us from one to the other, and the love of God for us, and then our response in love toward him. It's easy to love somebody that loves you, isn't it? Maybe you didn't even love that person until you found out they loved you. And then all of a sudden, feelings changed and affections changed. And relationship changed. But that's what John tells us in his epistle. We love him because he first loved us. That's always how it is. Our love to God is nothing more than response. We didn't love him before he planted his love within us and revealed that and expressed that in ways that all of a sudden began to take hold of us, and our love and affections began to turn toward Christ. It's because of that great love that he's given to us. And we respond in love. Acts of worship and adoration, the way we live and the way we serve. Many of you in here are serving God. You're on staff here very intentionally serving him for the time that you're here. That's an expression of worship to him. It's not just the songs that we sing or the in-between when we worship. But that's precious to him also, isn't it? When we sing a song about how he loves me, and then our response is, Lord, I love you. I worship you. There's none like you. God, I'm undeserving. Thank you, Lord, for your great love. And we respond then to the great love of God toward us. And that's where we want to live. In this realm of God's love. Father, we thank you that you so love us. Sister Johanna shared that the other night. They're going to be in Ephesians with the girls up in the village. And that great doctrinal letter to the church in Ephesus, when Paul writes that, he says, there's this indescribable love of God that I'm praying you get to know more deeply. And it's kind of this, just, it doesn't make sense what Paul's even saying, but that's the reality. Saying we cannot fully know the love of God, but I pray day by day you know a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, until someday, maybe, I think eternity is going to be that long, because there's going to be this ever unfolding love of God revealed to us millennia after millennium, eon after eon. Oh, there's more of God's love. Oh, there's more of God's love. We sang it in that hymn the other night. The love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless. But in there it says, if the ocean were ink and every stalk a quill, if the skies were a scroll, the heavens were a scroll, we would not be able to write all of the expression and the depth of God's love toward us. That's how much he loves you and me. Thank you, Lord, for this great love. Now help us, Lord, to do that we would build and we would grow and we would anticipate and these things, Lord, that we would live in that realm and that awareness each day, the great love of God toward us, how it would change us. So we give you praise and thanks, dear Jesus. Let's sing of that. 202.
Wonderful Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Brother Renee, would you close in prayer for us tonight?
Jesus. Father, we are so ecstatic, Lord God. We have no words, Lord Jesus, to comprehend your love for us.
Yes.
And there was nothing in us, Lord God. You loved us first.
Yes.
Lord, love is just not a definition, not a concept, but a reality. You send your Son for us.
Yes.
But we have no word to give you thanks. But Lord, here we are. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we thank you for what you are doing. Lord. And Lord, we look forward with great expectation what you will continue to do in our lives. Thank you, Father.
Yes.
In your name we
pray.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. If you're not part of the staff, you're dismissed. And the others, if you please stay. Amen.